To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. All correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, you can find us by using hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. And the WIBR Warn Radio is on also on Parler and Clout Club. Those are two new social sites we've joined, so be sure to find us over there. And you can listen to our shows via the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're inspired and anointed. They apply to this day and age we are living in. This week we feature Perceived Truth, Loving Praise of Men. At times, the real truth can be brutal. In today's article, we find those who love the praise of men. Excuse me. America's Lawlessness, the Mystery of Iniquity. America Lawlessness, the latest round of mayhem, murder, and national news, reveals we are in the middle of the mystery of iniquity. Rebellion or mercy, the path well worn. There is a path well worn, and it has been traveled since the first beginnings of the men of man on earth. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. And I'm doing good for a number of reasons. Today's Thursday.
Yes. Tomorrow's Friday. Yay, I'm excited.
And, well, you know, and I'm not really excited about coming to the end of July.
Oh, I know.
But the big news today is, of course, the Republican National Convention in Jacksonville has been canceled because of the COVID. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking.
Well, it was. And, well, you know, the thing of it is that I know they've had an increase in the cases. But, see, there's also been some hanky-panky going on with these cases because they were counting stuff that didn't really mean that people had anything. you know, probable cases are not having it. It's probable. It's just like probable cause. That doesn't mean they, you know, there's something there. You got to go find it.
That's right.
And they tried to find it, and that was their finding. So there was no evidence. Well, at any rate, do you got any new articles to tell us about?
Yes, I do. A new article by The Watchman came out today. It's Patient Endurance and Righteousness. Patient endurance greets the end of days with a gasp. There are wicked people and even viler principalities and powers at work. But for the Christian disciple who beholds their Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, victory is near as the battle heats up. Yes, it is. The hotter the battle, the closer the Lord. That's exciting, huh?
Yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. And so we are still in Isaiah.
Part 57?
Yeah.
56?
Yeah, and that's because we don't get very far because we're covering, including...
Well, there's so much information.
Well, there is. I'm bringing in some New Testament things along with it. So that's why it's important to be able to do this. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
And we are...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you still.
Okay.
Isaiah 26:18. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. You know, there's one thing that is hard for probably most Americans to really understand, and that is the fact of a nation that goes into slavery and bondage, like Judah did. Now, of course, the other house, the house of Israel, known as, in the modern lingo, the lost tribes of Israel, were lost. They were carried here and yon, mixed in the nations. Nevertheless, though, there were some still in the land. And usually when you have this kind of a captivity, they will leave the poor and others in the land to till it and to do things like that. And they did bring some of them to Babylon, which, of course, Daniel is one, and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are others. And there's a lot more that were there that have not been mentioned in Scripture, but they were there. And, you know, it's interesting that when we talk about Israel, their peak was under Solomon and the temple. And the glory of the kingdom and the wisdom of Solomon became world-renowned. Yet in the latter reign of Solomon, he fell away from the Lord. And it's hard to really say, did he really become an unbeliever? No, but he did sin because he brought in idols, Baal, into Israel. And of course, within all of this, we see that Israel then, instead of being one house, became two houses. The house of Israel, that's the 10 tribes, and then you had the house of Judah, which was Judah and Benjamin. Of course, the Levites went with them because that's where the temple was. And for David's sake is why Judah was there. But the bottom line here is that under David, though, David had subdued all of Israel's enemies. And David is known as the warrior king. And we look at Yeshua coming again, and we see him as the warrior king coming again to subdue all nations, to bring all enemies under his feet. Now see, David subdued all of Israel's enemies. But, and David also longed to have a place, a house for God. But because of the blood associated with David and the warring, he could not build the temple, and it was put to Solomon, who had never shed any blood. And so it was Solomon then who rose to glory and built the temple and did all this. Now, when we fast forward to the fact that Judah gets sent into captivity, she could not subdue her enemies. She was giving herself over to many other gods. They were sacrificing their children unto Baal. They were doing a lot of things here that were not kosher with the living God. It was not law. And so during this time of 70 years, it's been like a whole nation and going through birth pangs because they're again in captivity. They were in captivity, Israel was, in Egypt. And they cried for a long time before the Lord delivered them. And Israel had originally gone into Egypt to be delivered because of what was happening. And they became saved. And then, of course, they grew. And because they grew and God blessed them, when a Pharaoh finally came along, he didn't know of David. I mean, not David, but of Israel's beginnings. And so he was more afraid of them having more kids and babies and growing faster than the Egyptians were. So he oppressed them. But they eventually did. And of course, this is where Moses comes in. But see, when you fast forward into, again, going into captivity in Babylon, Israel was totally helpless. Judah was. As far as trying to deliver themselves from the oppressors that there was. And it took Cyrus, who was known as, of course, God's anointed. And it says in Scripture that he was. But see, during all that time, what is Israel going to be doing? Well, first of all, of course, there's the lamentations we find in Scripture. There's a good deal of mourning and why me. And then there's a portion of where you finally know why me. And you end up understanding that you're the reason that you got in that situation in the first place because of your sins and what you did. And so it's kind of poignant. We have been with child and we have been with pain. Now it's interesting to note one of the judgments on Eve back in Genesis for sinning was to be in pain with childbirth. That leads you to think that there was a time up till that point that they could have had kids in the garden and she could have had a kid and it would never, she would have never experienced pain. But now, once she sinned, she did have, you know, been in pain. So they associate that birth of a child with being in pain. And, of course, they were in pain for 70 years. Thank God you don't have to be pregnant for 70 years. But we have it, as it were, brought forth wind. You know, there's that thing, puffing at the wind. There's that boasting. There's a lot of things that people may do, but it doesn't solve or help their situation. No matter what they would do, they were still in pain. They were still in bondage. And that's why they say we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. They're not talking about everybody. They're talking about their own, getting themselves out of this. and neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Well, the world was going on. It was Israel who was in captivity, and the ones that they would like to see fall are their captors, and that was Babylon, and it was that way for a lifetime, 70 years. So when you get to Isaiah 26 then, you're at the close of this chapter, just about. And it's summing up this. And you look at this and you think, you know, what would it be like today? Well, today you probably wouldn't even survive. They were pretty nasty back in Israel's day. But boy, people and nations are really nasty today. And if you take... If you just look at the Christian population that gets slaughtered, you're going to find that they're, especially in Iran, I mean, not Iran, but Pakistan, they've been calling for the total eradication of all Christians in Pakistan or to remove them. And that's current news. Meanwhile, in India, a long time ago, of course, Modi, belonging to... you know, his party, a radicalized party, they've been calling for the removal of all Christians in India as well. I mean, total eradication. And so when we look at this, it's, you have to understand that God has moved. And they're going to be delivered. And of course, in Isaiah 24... we covered this, but 4 through 6, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Now, this has to do with, really, the judgment on the earth. I call this, all of Isaiah 24 is Isaiah's apocalypse, as I refer to it. And I've got a several-part teaching on this chapter alone. And, you know, it describes an earth that is just an earth that is not healthy, that things are beginning to fall apart, things are not working right, and I'm talking about, you know, everything that used to work normal, sun, moon, sky, rotation of the earth, the magnetism on the earth, all the natural things that God has made in this earth, water, you know, the animal, I mean, everything. It's not the same. And, of course, you know, if you take it from the standpoint of where we're at today, I mean, when I was growing up, we had stories from my uncles of going fishing at the time when they were raised here and catching fish the size of a boy. And they would use some of the trout that we would use today as regular, you know, catchable and wanting to eat. They would use those as bait. You can't find that anymore. And you can't find the fresh water in the springs that there used to be. My grandfather had a cabin, and we had spring water there. That's what we drank. Dark blue. I mean, it's dark black, actually, because when it gets to the top, you can see that it's crystal clear, but if you look down, it comes from in the earth, and it's black. And the water's clear, but the tunnel that brings it up is just sheer black. It just goes down to the center of the earth, crystal clear, ice cold, most delicious water you've ever had. You can't even find that anymore. A big issue on the earth, you know. There's a lot of issues. And those issues are breaking down the earth itself. The very fibers are breaking down. And so verse 5 says the earth is defiled under the inhabitants. Part of the problem is that when Adam and Eve fell, all of mankind fell, but also everything else fell. That's why when we read in the New Testament, all of creation moaneth and groans for the redemption and looks forward to the day of the revealing of the sons of God. That time when God ends everything and brings those who were his unto himself. So this earth, you know, that one little gal that has always been in the news, and she's kind of irritating about, you know, all the things to save the earth and things like that. Well, she just got a $1 million award for her work. She's not very old, so she'll probably go on and be quite famous. But the problem is not that we're killing the earth. It's the sin that we do that is in us, that is also in the earth. The curse devours the earth. It's not going to stop. And so this part, 24, is in this whole section. But when you get into some of the areas, when you're like Israel at this time, and you are in judgment, it seems like the whole earth has come to a close. You know, the inhabitants of the world, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Yeah, they're not. They're keeping going. But we're still stuck here. We've been praying to God, but there's no deliverance for us. Babylon is still healthy, and we're still here. But then suddenly, before they know it, they are delivered, and Babylon's destroyed, and overnight, things are switched around. And that's what Isaiah 26 here is actually revealing. Isaiah 26:19, it says, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Now you see, when they recount, when you look at the judgment, Judah and all of her people were in the world, but they're captive. There was nothing outside of Babylon. And you couldn't enjoy life. You had a life that was subject to the masters of Babylon. So it's as though you were dead. I mean, you couldn't do anything. You were especially dead to the world. Now, see, people feel like that. For instance, you know, when Tower and I were first married, we never carried our phones with us. Never. But see, now everybody carries a phone with them. We didn't miss a phone before. We didn't miss, you know, calling somebody. We had a time to call people. And there's another thing. We knew what the phone numbers are. Do you remember the phone numbers? Do you know the phone numbers of the people that you have to call? I'll bet you 70 to 80% of you, even 90, have no clue. You hit the little icon and that dials for you. Well, see, in the old days, we had to dial it, so we had to remember the numbers. I can still remember my number as a kid of my house. But I have a lot of things, a lot of people to dial. But see, without your phone, man, you're dead, right? You can't do nothing. If you can't get on your social media, if you can't play your games, if you can't talk to your friends, you know, if your computer's down, if the internet's down, God help us. See, that's the way we live today. We're so spoiled today, it's just sickening. So how are you going to know about judgment? How are you going to understand the fact that these people didn't have what you had? Not at all. Didn't even enter in. They didn't have your cars. They had to work hard. And when there's when they were done for the day, it was time to go to bed. Maybe get a little bit of a meal, get up and do it again tomorrow. There was no life. The one thing they had to do, they had to go through God's judgment that he had planned for them and pray for his deliverance. But in the same token, when judgment came, it was on Babylon, their captors. And so everything was reversed. Israel, who was in captivity, who had literally ceased to exist, suddenly existed again. Babylon, who was the most powerful and existed, suddenly did not exist. And so you have a contrast in this verse. You know, and you can see this today. You know, all the things today doesn't mean they're going to be going on tomorrow. You have people that are wicked, or people that are irritating, or even people that are loving. You have a threat in the earth. Hey, at the time, Hitler was one of the most predominant threats on the face of this earth, as was Hirohito over in Japan. And then, of course, you had Italy you had to deal with. And you had World War II, where the nations were at war. Life really ceased to exist. You lived war. Now, see, when we were in Vietnam, I was in the service in Vietnam, but I was stationed on the East Coast, monitoring the East Coast in a ship. That's what we did. You know, that's the Vietnam War for some of us. Meanwhile, our buddies were getting the hell shot out of them over in Vietnam, while the politicians didn't seem to know people were getting killed. There was a lot of fuss over that. Nobody wanted it because we didn't want to win over there. Those of us that was in the service, we knew that. But there was a lot more than that. You were hated. People hated you because you were in the service during Vietnam. See, in a lot of our wars, what happened? Well, we're at war over with Saddam Hussein. Well, life in America went on the same. During World War II, life was not the same, especially in England and Europe, which lost practically everything. In America, during all the time of all the wars, we have not been invaded to the point any other nation has been invaded. We have had churches and revivals. You better awaken up, people. Because we continue to fall away from the Lord God. We continue to abort babies and have a late-term abortion, which is blood guilt and puts a curse on the ground and the earth in which we stand called America. And there's a lot more curses on America than that from the very things that have happened and people that have done things. But for Israel, the mourning would be over. MOURNING. Not mourning as in good morning. The mourning would be over. Life would return as they knew it. They could rejoice because it was true. It was very true. They were free. Now see, Israel's in the land today, but they're still not free. They've never gotten all the land back. They've never gotten back to their sacrifices. And then Yeshua came. And we have a new covenant. So then you have Israel that needs to come to know its Savior, and Paul deals with that too. But everybody in the world knows about Israel and how she fell away. Nobody wants to forget it. And we still have anti-Semites today. Even during all the stuff in America here today, you know how many times I've heard them in covering what's happening in America lately with all the COVID and with all the riots. They hate all the white men. I've been through this before, so I don't care what they say. You know, you people are nuts. You know, go jump in the lake. And then they also say, the Jews, we hate the Jews. They rule the world. Dear God in heaven, how stupid can you get? The Jews do not rule the world. See, now that's the thing they love, is to blame the Jews for everything that's going wrong in the world. Because if the Jews ran the world, and I've known a few Jews, including a Jewish prophet and a few others, and if they ran the world, they would run it a little bit better, and they would certainly have a big nation that they would call Israel, and it would certainly be prosperous and powerful. That's one of the first things that these Jews would do. Now, you do have some secular Jews, some godless Jews. Now, see, they're a Jew by birth, but they're not a Jew in their hearts. They're dead. Now, see, there are a few of them in high power and happen to have a lot of money because, you know, the Jews were the chosen people in the beginning because Abraham responded with faith and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake because he believed God. And God blessed him and blessed his children. Now, see, these people over here in the world today causing some of the problems here, they may be Jewish, but it's not the Jewish race that's a problem. It's the heart. It's the darkened heart by Satan. But see, the children of Israel are out now. Now, see, all of a sudden, in reverse, we can look at America. America was born, and they're, you know, the way we were born and everything of what we were, people today, through various false documents and teachings, like the 1619 Project, is nothing but lies and twisting of truth. Because from the beginning, this country is working to free the slaves. And there are no slaves left here in America. A half a million Northerners and some of the blacks that got away, they fought for the North. They died for this. There's been blood paid for your slavery. There's no money due to you. You're a spoiled brat. When you talk about things, you shouldn't get paid for that. You were born in America. You weren't born a slave. And in the beginning, there was slavery long before this country ever got here. But see, the people that want to take away what America is, they'll continue to do it. Because there's judgment on this nation. I've been warning this nation and Tower along my side for many years. Over two decades. And the first time I was talking to Tower about what's coming to this was in the mid-70s, because I knew it then, by the grace of God. Now, the one thing we're looking at tonight, because we're talking about the blood, Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed or passed over. It's going to be by. Now see, it's talking about judgment. Now you see, during the time that they had, it was 70 years, that the indignation of their slavery to Babylon, and then they were delivered. But we also talk about judgment in general. And here, we can fast forward to today. There's some major judgments coming. And when it happens, enter into your chambers and shut your doors and hide, seeking the Lord, for a little moment, until the judgment is done. and it's past. Now see, the little moment here is a moment in time. For the Jews, it was 70 years. For those in the end of days, we've been going through indignation for some time. This is, we always talk about the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all the other things associated with our interpretations as Gentiles. But basically, you have a breakdown is that when the apostles were here, it was the end of days. In these last days, Christ Jesus was revealed and came. We're in the last of the last days, as I like to call it. And you have some pre-shakings before the main tribulation and the arrival of the Dark One. And when he arrives, there's 3.5 years, but this is tremendous shaking. But there is judgment, and God does ongoing judgments. Now see, there's another thing to this too. Not only were they in captivity for 70 years, but see, this particular part refers to a point of the judgment coming. And see, he did tell the Jews to let Israel come to mind, flee Babylon, and let Jerusalem come to mind. They were supposed to go back. Why? Because he was going to judge Babylon. So you hide yourself for a moment. Now you see, there was a lot of people in Israel waiting for the consolation of Israel, which was the Messiah to come, that would restore everything to Israel. When Yahshua showed up on the scene, he was coming as a suffering servant to die on the cross to save people from their sins. He wasn't coming as a political pundit and political savior. That's what they didn't understand, and they were blinded. But there was some people in Israel that weren't blinded. For John points out, he went to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Well, today, folks, you're living in America, and judgment's coming. You need to get right with God and watch out. Because one day it will hit, and when it does, enter into your chambers and shut the doors, and fast and pray and hide until it's overpassed. Now within this too, you can take two hints. Number one, not only did the Lord say this regarding judgment, but he also told the people, the Jews in Babylon, to flee Babylon and let Jerusalem come to mind. In mystery Babylon, we're told to come out of her, my people. And then he explains to you, you don't want to partake of her plagues and her judgments, her sins. You know, and as Christians, if you're not doing those sins, why would you want to stay here and go through the judgment? So there is a little point in today's thing as we're going through for America today. I don't address the other nations. They're not out of the woods at all. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Destruction of ungodly men. Do we have ungodly men and women? Yes, we do. Unrighteous, ungodly. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will pass as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now later on, Peter does talk about the earth being destroyed by fire. Now, when you get back to Isaiah's 24, I call the apocalypse, you can match his apocalypse and his vivid descriptions to an event like the one Peter is explaining here. Now, we haven't arrived there yet. But see, when you begin to look and you see all the things. Now, see, we had 2014, 2015, we had the double blood moons, which happened in the spring feast and during the fall feast. Now, those, whenever you see that kind of a sign, it is a sign. And it was a sign, all right. It was a sign to Israel, but it was also the beginning of one of the worst persecutions and bloodletting and slaughtering of Christians. And there was also Muslims and Yazidis also that were slaughtered at that time by ISIS as they went through Syria and Iraq. They also had a presence in other places. That will seem like the end of the world if you're there. And then, of course, we had the great summer eclipse, which I prophesied about, talking about the fact that thing, and God revealed to me that eclipse represents the division that is in America. And it was related to the Civil War, and it's related to what was happening in this country. And on the heels of that division, even today, has grown exponentially. So it's very possible that we could wind up in a civil war here. And it's because we're stubborn, we're proud, we're full of sin. And New York, look at how many people died in New York. And look at how angry Cuomo and de Blasio are all the time and how they hate Trump. Division. But guess what? They also have one of the worst abortion laws in the United States. Killing these innocent kids. Babies. That's blood guilt. Blood guilt is something that will defile the land. It is something that God will require of them. And that city has a curse on it because of that. America has a curse on it because of all of the abortions that's on it. Look at all the murders we're seeing now. It's blood. And every time blood is spilt in America, that's more blood guilt. There's blood guilt also over in Jerusalem and Israel. Before the Messiah could come and set up his temple, it would have to be cleansed. There's no way they can do that over there. The Jews know it. And they know what they have to do. It's in the law. It tells them what to do. God even warned them. There's warnings about all of this stuff if you would pay attention. Revelation 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Israel got in trouble because she fell away from the Lord God and sinned against him grievously, some of which was passing their children through fire unto Baal. The judgment in the end of days in Revelation has to do with all the nations, and especially Mystery Babylon. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now, if you're a pre-tribber, you're believing that this is the voice of the Lord calling the Jews out. But no, this is calling the believers out. And the believers described in Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. We know the marching orders in Revelation. We know who these people are. The Jews are among them, but the Jews are also part of those that's going to experience this. There's going to be a lot in the world, not just Jews. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even, she has rewarded you double unto her double. Now, I always say that's four. 2 times 2 is 4. So he's given her double according to her works, because her works are double in the cup which she has filled to her double. Now, see, I have it on good authority that America became worse than Sodom and Gomorrah a long time ago. But see, I got news also for you folks. If you think that Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was sodomy, and that's why it got destroyed, no, it got destroyed because of pride and refusal to repent. There was a lot of sins there, just no, not just that. They had a lot of sins. Now see, whenever you get a nation that thinks that they can do anything, you'd better get back into Isaiah and pay attention, because you can learn things in Isaiah that tells you about things today. Isaiah 26:21, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." Now see, one thing you need to understand, you're going to hear the blood a lot. And you're hearing it here. The blood will be paid for. Now see, the blood redeemed us, the blood of the Lamb. But if you're killing blood, killing people to where they die, that's the slaying of the innocent, if you murder them like that. So when we look at it, the earth one day is going to give up her slain. In other words, we will know who they are, who murdered them, and the person will be held accountable. Now see, Revelation 12:11 is where we are redeemed by the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I told you that one. Revelation 14:20, "And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now that wine press is the wine press of the wrath of God. And it's on the enemy. This is not fun. This is a lot of blood to make up for a lot of blood that has been spilt. "And the second angel poured out his vial into the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Revelation 16:4, "And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains and waters, and they became blood." Why? Revelation 16:6. "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Now chapter 6 of Revelation tells you about the seals and about the martyrs. There's coming a time when the martyrs will be finished. There will be no more killed. And that's what it plainly says there. He tells the ones who have been martyred to rest a while until your brethren, which are yet to be fulfilled. You can read it in there. And so there's going to come a time when those yet to be martyred will be martyred. And then after that, there won't be any more martyrs because there's none left. After that, it's the ceiling. So at Revelation 16:16, they've shed the blood of saints and prophets, and he's given them blood to drink. Revelation 17:6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's the harlot. And remember, she rode on the beast. And there's a lot of types here that you can really, you can type this out. You can bring this to current day and talk about current powers that are here in the earth that would do this. That would be this way. That would be drunken with the blood of the saints. Just think of, who do I know today who would give anything to kill Christians? And there's an answer. But most of your liberal media and the others don't want to hear it. Most of the nations, European nations, won't even repeat it. But it's there. It's plain before your face. Revelation 18:24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now this is the rest of them. See, the other one was the martyrs of Jesus. The other one before that was the blood of saints and prophets. Then he says it again in 18:24. When it's mentioned twice, that means do not ignore it. Revelation 19:2 says, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth and her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at his hand. Revelation 19:13, this is the Lord coming again, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that blood isn't the blood of the slain, it's the blood that he shed for your redemption. There's a difference. You have all these scriptures in Revelation mentioning the blood. God is going to avenge the blood that has been slain in the earth, and especially this time. And during the time of ISIS, every person you killed, every innocent little girl, you cut their head off. And I saw the picture, you skunk. I've seen these things. I remember them. I was covering it. I can feel it in my soul. And we will see you punished. We will know who you are. Because you will meet your fate at the hand of he who says, I am the Lord. I will avenge, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now that is New Testament, buddy. That's not Old Testament. If you think you're in one of these foo-foo little churches that says you don't ever have to worry, I got news for you. You better get right with God and stop messing around, because you're going to have to stand before this fire of God, because when he comes back, there's going to be some repayment, and there's also going to be repayment on two sides, of those who disobeyed the gospel and those who obeyed and know the Lord and walking in his light as he is in the light. 1 John 1. These are the things. These are the things that we need to pay attention to. Now, we're going to be in chapter 27. And I love all these things. He talks about punishing the Leviathan, the piercing serpent. And so, this is good. There is no doubt about it. So we'll be in chapter 27, and we'll take off from there. And of course, that takes right off from where we're at now. If Father, thank you for your word today and for all those who listen whenever they hear this broadcast. Bless them, undertake in their life, and be with them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this family, from our Warren Radio websites and broadcasts, from this prayer time, and all who we pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I'm here.
You're kind of quiet.
How's that?
Oh, I can hear you now.
That's really loud.
What'd you do, drop the mic?
No. It doesn't work right.
Yeah, that's good. Blame the mic.
Yeah.
We do need to get new mics, though.
Yep, we will.
There's no doubt about it. Well, at any rate, we're at chapter 27. Got a ways to go. But this has been good. We got to talk about the blood and some of the judgment. And of course, that scripture tied right in with what Israel was going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got through the 70 years of judgment, and today still people don't forget. You know, it's just like, you know, we went through 70 years of judgment. Can't you folks forgive and forget?
I know.
They don't. That's because the devil hates the Jews. He does. To this day, he hates them.
Oh, yes, with a passion.
And I can guarantee you, if he's killing Christians, he's going to be right there trying to slaughter the Jews, too.
Yep. It's a sad, sad thing.
It is.
That there's so much demonic hatred in people in these last days.
Well, you know, there's that spirit of uncleanness that is sweeping America and division. And it borders out of us falling away from the Lord.
Yes, it does.
And so, it's just one of those things you don't really want to mess with. You know, you don't want to fall away. But, you know, we're getting in reports, and there's a lot of reports of people getting saved in revivals around America. Kids and stuff waking up. We've heard this from several ministries.
That's exciting.
And we're also hearing people coming to the Lord in Muslim nations like Iran that are questioning, well, you know, if we're an Islamic state and we've got the Ayatollah here, why are we going through this? So they begin to check out Christianity, and the Lord touches them, and they're getting saved. And they're doing all their stuff online, and people are getting saved. And then, of course, they meet secretly to try to get baptized. They do that throughout the Middle East. They have to do it secretly. And our other reports that are coming in, there's just miracles going on everywhere, including in China. The Communist Party was stupid enough to tell people that it's communism that is providing for you, not God. So China one day will face her judgments.
Yeah.
So with that, we're gonna have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate all you do for the Lord. May God bless you richly. Good night.
Well, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to go to our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Be blessed, be safe, watch for the Lord, keep your heart clear and clean. I've got a new article out. Be sure to check it out on our websites. Until next time, this is The Watchman. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.